A Simple Thing, written by Iridan, read by Marianas. Chapter 24. Prudie. The trip back to the palace was, at least, uneventful. Din flew as low as he dared, searching the sands for any sign of anything that shouldn't be there, for ships half hidden under sand or screes of rock, for tracks in the desert or the lights of speeder bikes. But the Great Dune Sea was mostly empty. There were signs of life. Din saw a pack of Anuba racing in the sands, pursuing something small. A canyon crate watched Din pass by from the safety of a ridge. A Junda bird flying overhead, a tiny shadow across the face of Gomrasan, Tatooine's largest moon. But they were few. And there's no sign of Gorga or any of Gorga's people. Din settled some as that scrubby, featureless expanse of the desert gave way to the rise of Boba's palace, the lights of Mos Eisley glittering in the distance beyond it. Jabba had picked a good spot all those centuries ago when he'd come to Tatooine and carved it up to his liking. The palace was the tallest thing around for several clicks. Its shape and construction gave it clear views from every side. From the top of Boba's tower, Din could see almost all the way to the Jundland Wastes. The palace's walls were thick, too, and its tunnels ran for clicks in every direction, opening up into bolt holes all over the desert. "It's safe," Din thought, the wind tugging at his hair. "At least, it's as safe as Boba and Fennec can make it. An orbital bombardment would probably make short work of the palace's thick walls, its clear lines of sight, but Din doubted that Gorga wanted to turn the whole palace to scrap and rubble. If Gorga was anything like Jabba, he'd want to keep the place standing. He'd want the throne room, the treasure hoard underneath it. So we'll be facing a frontal assault," Din thought, "not a bombardment from space. That's good." Boba didn't have much of a fleet. He had his own battered Firespray-class ship. He had Din's Kirik Fly. He had a handful of other rickety, rusty ships, the odds and ends left behind when Jabba's people had abandoned the palace after the worm's death. But most of them were in such bad shape that not even Bib Fortuna had tried to sell them. Din would be surprised if more than two or three other ships lying around the palace were spaceworthy. Strill would probably lend the Huntress if the palace was attacked outright, but Din wasn't sure how much use it would be either. But if Gorga's people are gonna come from the sands instead. Din circled higher, searching the desert on all sides of the palace for any sign of an advancing front, for scouts in the sand or speeders on the ridges. Then made himself land, choosing a stretch of open sand in front of the palace. He only stumbled a little this time. Theron and Cacique were guarding the front doors, both of them armed to the teeth. Theron only nodded at Din as Din approached, but Cacique warbled a greeting. "You're back," Cacique said. "Are you all right?" Din nodded tiredly. "Fine," he said. "Where's the rest of your armor?" Cacique, Din realized abruptly, had probably never seen Din's face. Din had been eating first meal with Nora and Fennec for a few weeks now, but he'd usually finished and pulled his helmet back on before the rest of Boba's court showed up. Cacique was a late sleeper. "It's here," Din said. He resisted the urge to scratch his jaw or drag a nervous hand through his hair. I left in a hurry." Cacique rumbled. "Boss did too," he said. "Something about Ushib?" "She's fine," Din assured him. "We found her. She and Boba are on their way back." "Good," said Cacique, leaning back against his post. "Fennec's been worried." Guilt itched underneath Din's skin. She probably hadn't been thrilled to have her evening interrupted by Din and Boba's disagreement. "I'm sure she has," he muttered. "She inside?" "Holding down the fort," Cacique confirmed. "Any sign of trouble?" Cacique shook his head. "None," he said. Then reached out and swatted Din's shoulder with a massive paw. He'd probably meant for it to be gentle, but gentle lived on a different scale for Wookiees. Din stumbled under the force of the swat, breath hissing out between clenched teeth. His shoulder throbbed in complaint. Din still had bruises from his last encounter with one of Boba's floggers, even though it felt to him like that night had happened 100 years ago. Kashyyyk did not apologize. "If we see anything," Theron cut in, startling Din. He and Din had never spoken before, as far as Din could remember. It wasn't that Din had gone out of his way to avoid Theron or anything like that, but he and Din did different things for Boba. Their paths didn't often cross. Theron had a pleasant voice, warm and round, with an accent like Cobb Vanth's, like he'd lived his entire life in the shadow of Jabba's palace. Maybe he did, Din thought. Mos Eisley had grown so large because of its proximity to the palace. Jabba had always brought credits to Tatooine, even if he'd brought suffering and misery right along with it. "We'll give a shout," Theron continued. "Kashyyyk's loud when he needs to be." That made Kashyyyk laugh in his big Wookiee voice, the sound echoing across the sand. Din just nodded, still thrown. "When can we expect the boss?" Kashyyyk asked. "Maybe an hour," Din said. "Ushib's on a speeder. Boba wanted to stay close to her. They'll go as fast as they can." Kashyyyk nodded. "We'll watch the sands," he said, patting Din's shoulder again. This time Din was ready for it and braced himself, only staggering under the force of Kasik's paw a little. Kashyyyk chuckled again. Din rolled his eyes. Wookiees, he thought, and went inside. Despite the way he'd behaved earlier, despite the panic and confusion of the last 2 standard days, stepping back into the palace only felt like relief. Like safety. Its walls were solid and its lights were gentle and familiar. Din snorted to himself. "Jabba's palace," he thought. "Gentle and familiar. I must be sun's touched." But it's not really Jabba's palace anymore, is it? Din followed the hallway towards the stairs. He knew where he'd find Fennec. Jabba hasn't ruled here for years. Almost all signs and traces of Jabba's presence, the grime on the walls, the mounted animal heads, the stink and the fear and the ostentatious displays of wealth, the hundreds of years he'd spent in this palace, keeping most of Tatooine pinned underneath his tail, were gone. Din wasn't sure if Bib Fortuna had gotten rid of most of Jabba's things, or if Boba and Fennec had ripped it all down and thrown it into a pit somewhere, but someone had gotten rid of it all. Din liked what had sprung up in its place. The softly glowing light cells, the windows, the twilighty tapestries Nura had put up on the walls in the stairway and in the throne room. The palace felt more like a sanctuary than a prison now. 2 months ago, I was afraid to walk across the Rancor's grate, Din thought. Din had been as jumpy coming down here as Vanth had been the first time he'd visited. He had expected violence. All of that trepidation was gone. Din found Fennec where he thought he would, in the throne room, leaning against the bar, sipping spatchka, a datapad in front of her and a hollow projection in the air. Fennec didn't look up when Din made it to the bottom of the stairs, but she knew he was there. Din saw her shoulders tighten, then relax, when she realized that it was only Din. "Still alive, then?" Fennec asked, not taking her eye off the hollow projection. It was a map of some kind. Her tone, deliberately smooth and flat, gave Din some pause, but he pushed through it. "She's probably right to be angry with me." He just hoped that she'd hear him out first before she decided to start shooting. Fennec was mean when she wanted to be. She and Din had play-fought often enough now that she knew where all the gaps in his armor were. Din thought that Fennec was a friend, maybe, at least a close ally, one who trusted Din to do his job, to solve problems instead of causing them. Boba had said that he and Fennec had searched the sands underneath the tower together. Din winced. "Still alive," Din confirmed. "You talked to Boba? We found Ushib. They're on their way right now." Some of the tension in Fennec's shoulders eased at that. "She's all right?" "She is." "Good," said Fennec. She finally looked up from her map. As Din drew closer, he realized that it was a 3-dimensional map of the palace. A detailed one, too. Fennec had labeled all of the rooms and hallways, and there were even small, faint red circles at some of the doors and in some of the halls that pulsed at uneven intervals. Some pulsed slowly, only once or twice every few seconds, and others flickered at a faster pace. Like heartbeats, Din thought. "Tracking fobs for all the guards," Fennec explained, hearing Din's unasked question. The fob monitors being's vitals. This is Zero. She pointed to a red dot stationed by the landing pad, which was flickering steadily. This is Kasik. She pointed to one of the dots by the palace's front doors. Kasik's dot pulsed more slowly than Zero's. Wookiees ran hotter than humans, but their hearts were bigger and didn't beat as fast. Din nodded, thinking. So you know if someone's killed? He asked. Fennec nodded. Or if someone's moving when they're not supposed to be. Clever, Din said. Using fobs to track all of the guards would tell Fennec if someone was killed or if someone was forced away from their post. It wouldn't give her much warning that the palace was under attack, but it would give her little, at least. Necessary, Fennec returned. She took a swallow of Spotchka. What happened to Ushib? Ambush, said Din. He'd made it to the bar and carefully leaned against it, giving Fennec a little space. He reached over the bar looking for something to drink. His throat still felt like it was full of sand. He hesitated for a moment over Boba's little bottle of Tihar, the liquid clear and tempting, but settled for water instead. It would probably settle his nerves, but Din didn't really want to risk being drunk if Fennec was angry with him. You kill that stupid son of a skug who jumped her? She did, Din said. She wasn't very impressed by their attempts to keep a hold of her. She said they didn't even bother to check her for a knife. That finally made Fennec snort, something in the cold lines of her face softening. Din resisted the impulse to swallow and put more distance between himself and Fennec. She is angry with me. Fennec Shand was not an enemy that Din wanted to have. Beyond the fact that Boba trusted her, that she was Boba's right hand and ran most of the day-to-day operations for the outfit, Din liked her. Fennec was sharply funny when she wanted to be, and she was reliable, competent, fierce, and clever. She'd made room for Din here in the palace. She'd made room for him at first meal with Nora. Ushib's the sort that's hard to keep a hold of, Fennec said, leaning back in her seat. She left the map up, its little red spots blinking in their individual rhythms. But she's fine, really. Din nodded. Yeah, she's fine. She was attacked by two. I doubt they were professionals, both human. She killed them and was on her way back here when I caught up with her. Boba was right behind me. He found you, then? He did, Din confirmed. A faint suspicion unfurled itself in his chest. But he said he wasn't looking for me. He probably wasn't, Fennec said. We had no idea which way you flew off to, but I figured that he'd find you anyway. Why? Din asked, confused. Fennec shrugged. Dunno, she said. That kind of thing, a weird coincidence, just seems to happen when you're involved. What are you talking about? Fennec offered Din a tight half-smile. It wasn't the business end of her blaster, but Din was still confused. Did you know that we all thought Boba was dead? She asked instead of answering Din's question. Din nodded, confusion deepening. I mean, really dead. He fell into the pit of Carcoon. Nobody, and I mean nobody, not in all the years Jabba used it as his favorite dumping ground, or all the years before that when it was just a hole in the sand that everyone tried to avoid, has ever managed to do that. To all of us who made it through the end of Jabba's empire, Boba was as dead as the old worm. But then you show up, Fennec continued, almost conversationally. Yourself something out of a cantina tale, a Mandalorian in full armor in this day and age. And 10 minutes later, Boba Fett comes walking out of the sands to save my life. I didn't, Din started, but Fennec pushed on. You know what Bo-Katan Kryze has been doing since the Empire turned Mandalore to glass? Din narrowed his eyes. They were veering dangerously towards a topic of conversation Din had no interest in, at least not with Fennec. With Paz or Boba, with Mandalorians, maybe, but with Fennec. No, he said, wary now. Hiding, said Fennec bluntly. Running for her life. The Empire had a price on her head, you know. But then she crosses your path and decides it's time to mount a campaign against the Remnants. I just helped her, Din said, something beginning to itch underneath his skin. He didn't like Fennec's tone, and he didn't like what she was implying. I didn't. There's no Mandalore left for her to take back. The Jedi, then, Fennec pressed, Her dark eyes were sharp as the edge of a knife. A dead people. There's probably less than 50 Jedi still alive across the entire galaxy. But one shows up the moment we need one the most. That was Grogu, Din said weakly. The kid, the Jedi was there for him, not for me. Fennec searched Din's face for a moment, expression unreadable. Then she shrugged, one-shouldered, and turned back to her map. I'm just saying, she said. Boba finding you before he found Ushi when he wasn't even looking for you. That's hardly the strangest thing that's happened around you lately. A shiver passed down Din's spine. Fennec had said something like that to Din already once. You don't know what you look like when you walk into a room, she'd said. She called me something out of a desert tale, Din thought, uncomfortable. A legend come to life. That sentiment flirted too close with what Boba had called Din up in his rooms. The Mandalore. I'm not any of those things, Din thought, a little wild with it. He wasn't a legend or a desert spirit or a cantina tale. I'm not even a Mandalorian anymore. I'm just me. I'm just what's left. But Din didn't have a word he could use to get out of a conversation with Fennec. He wasn't near any windows large enough to leap out of either, and he certainly wasn't about to say anything like that to Fennec. That, by his creed, Din should have just laid down and died after he'd seen Grogu off safely with Skywalker, but hadn't. There was nothing special about that. Din was just stubborn. Too stubborn, sometimes. Din finished his glass of water instead, throat aching, and went in for another. His hands were shaking a little, a combination of dragging exhaustion and old adrenaline. Fennec must have seen the way the water jumped in Din's glass, because she softened some. I am glad you're all right, she said. Her voice was sincere. You had Boba worried. I didn't mean to worry anybody, Din said tiredly. It's just... It happens, said Fennec, shrugging. You got overwhelmed. Boba, he's got that effect on people. And you look a bit like you got eaten by a Sarlacc, too. When was the last time you slept? That was more in line with what Din had come to expect from Fennec. Concern wrapped up in light insults, usually about Din's untidy hair or the shadows under his eyes. He managed a thin smile. It hasn't been that long since I slept, Din said. It had only been that morning that Strill had come barging into the throne room. Din had slept before that. He still had bruises on his hips, the memory of Boba's teeth set against his shoulder. Dawn was still a little ways off, but Din had slept not even a full day ago. He should be fine. He'd stayed awake for days on hunts before. He'd been younger then, and the hunts had been more straightforward, had involved less fighting and fending off the Empire, but... It's only been one day, Din thought, dazed. So much, too much, had happened since he'd woken up confused in Boba's bed. My head hurts. Fennec softened even further. It's been long enough, she said, but you probably won't go to sleep until Ushib's had a look at your friends, will you? Probably not, Din admitted. He aimed for Rai and hope he hit it. He didn't like the way Fennec was looking at him now, liked it even less than the way she'd been looking at him before. You want something to eat? Din shook his head. You sure? He held up his glass of water. I'm good, he said. Sit down then, said Fennec. Unless you want to go check on your friends. She was offering Din an out. He thought about it, but shook his head. Paz wouldn't want to see him. They need a medic, Din said, not to see me. Fennec shrugged fluidly, took another sip of Spatchka. Sit yourself. You should sit down, though, unless you're just being contrary. Din scowled. He did sit, taking one of the stools arranged lopsidedly next to the bar, and scowled harder when Fennec gave him one of her pleased little half-smiles and went back to studying her map of the palace. She seemed content enough to leave him alone, though, so Din took her silence and used it to breathe, trying to anchor his mind into his body. His back hurt. It hadn't been so long ago that he and Boba had wrestled on the floor of Boba's room, after all. Since Boba had last flogged Din. It had been only hours since Dan had woken up in Boba's arms. Since they'd fucked and Boba's fresher, slow and lazy, unable to keep their hands off of each other. Din pushed down something. Something that felt like fear or grief, a hot tangle at the base of his throat. I don't know if we'll do that again, he thought. So much has happened since we woke up this morning. Boba had seemed willing, at least, to continue being Din's friend out in the desert, but anything beyond that? The thought hurt. More than a bruise, more than one of Boba's floggers, more than a blow to the head or a broken bone. It hurt to think that Din might never have Boba's hands on him again, Boba's mouth pressed against Din's collarbone. No, Din thought fiercely, trying to chase away the grief. Boba had been willing to talk in the desert. After he'd tackled Din into the sand, anyway. They'd probably have to talk more. As much as Din didn't want to, as much as he'd prefer to pretend that none of this had ever happened. But Boba would be willing, at least. He said that he was with me, Din thought, and I'm with him. So we'll talk. This doesn't have to be an ending. Just because Din's creed had no give in it didn't mean that nothing did. Boba wasn't a creed, after all, he was a man. Boba himself had said that men had give in them weakness. Maybe Boba still had room for Din in his life, in his bed, even though the creed didn't. Maybe we'll talk, Din told himself. And then what happened would happen. That was the way of the galaxy. Was it Gorgas people? Fennec asked a few minutes later, once Din had forced some of his tension away. I am not an animal, he reminded himself. Din was just tired and tense and tired of being tense. That was all. Fennec was Din's ally, even if she was unhappy with him. Focus, man. Din. Focus. Din. What? Din said, trying to pull himself back to this room. The Kung who attacked Ushib, were they Gorgas? Oh, said Din. I think so. They were off-worlders. They've been watching the palace, anyway. They knew who Ushib was, otherwise they wouldn't have bothered to grab her. Fennec hissed between her teeth. I thought the same thing, she said. After the attack on you and Geeta, it makes sense. How were they able to watch so closely? Din asked. I've checked the sands. You've checked the sands. You and Boba pretty much cleared all of Gorga's people out of Mos Eisley, didn't you? We thought we did, said Fennec, grim. But we must have missed someone. Or worse, we've got a bigger leak here than I thought. A bigger leak? There's always spies in a palace like this, Fennec said. Eyes and ears. It's impossible to keep anything on Tatooine a secret for very long. Like Vance flies, Din thought, uncomfortable. Like the Babs who made up Vance's network of freedom fighters, the slaves of Tatooine who were so commonplace that no one ever thought to look at them twice. Din's instincts twitched. You think there's a spy here? I know that there are spies here, said Fennec. Most of them are even harmless. Valerian's got a few here, so do Black Sun and Crimson Dawn, that's normal. But at least one of the spies here isn't harmless, or isn't someone I've tagged. Somebody's feeding information to Gorga the Hutt. How else would Gorga know who to target? Ushib's not just Boba's cook. No, Din murmured, narrowing his eyes while he thought. She isn't. Who, out of all the beings who worked for Boba now, would know that Ushib wasn't just a cook? That she was a Jita, too, able to care for injuries, set broken bones. Who knew that she was an advisor, that Boba's alliance with the Spotted Anuba had come through her? I know that look, Fennec said, bringing Din out of his thoughts. She was smiling a little again. You can relax, Jaren. You don't need to go hunting through the palace. But you just said that there's a spy, Din protested. There's been a spy for a while, Fennec reasoned. I know it's not you, and I know it's not me, so how do you know that it's not me? Fennec shot Din an unimpressed look, like she was reevaluating Din's intelligence. You, she said. are easier to read than a datapad, Jaren. One without any encryption. Din opened his mouth, almost offended, but Fennec stopped him with a roll of her eyes. It's nothing to be embarrassed about, she assured him. I bet you were all sorts of inscrutable back when you never took your helmet off. But when you're not wearing it, you show your loyalty like an ox shows its collar. Everyone knows who you follow. Din flushed at that. Like I said, Fennec continued, smile widening. Din had the horrible suspicion that she was teasing him, which made him flush even harder. I hadn't thought that I was so obvious, Din thought. That was twice today that someone had called him out like this, that someone had pointed out the way Din apparently trailed Boba around. You look to him like he's your allure, Paz had said, and now Fennec had gone and said this. It's not a bad thing, Fennec said. It makes my job easier, and Boba appreciates it, even if he hasn't said so. The kind of life we're living, knowing where someone's loyalties are, is a rare thing. Important. I know you wouldn't betray Boba. Or at least, Fennec added, with the calm fatalism common in the Outer Rim, if you did turn on him, you'd do it to his face. You're honest like that. Din's cheeks were still burning, but he managed to nod at that. He couldn't imagine turning on Boba now, but if he did, if Din had to, if he had to choose between Boba and the kid's safety, or if some other scenario he couldn't even imagine came up, Din would tell Boba to his face. Fennec seemed to hesitate for a moment, her smile fading. Din tensed, he couldn't help it. His instincts kept prickling. I appreciate it, you know, Fennec finally said. Her eyes drifted back to the hollow map. Its lights flickered, blue lines wavering through it as the hollow projector cycled. Your loyalty? I know that Boba does too, but... She paused, shook her head. You've been a good friend, Fennec continued. If a hard-headed one, and you've got your honor, that's hard to find in this line of work. Fennec, Din started, but she silenced him with a look. So, she continued, I think it's only fair to give you a warning. All of the hairs on the back of Din's neck stood up. His hand twitched for his blaster despite himself. This is Fennec, he thought, a friend. But Fennec Shand was one of the most dangerous beings in the galaxy, and she had Din here, helmet off, vulnerable. She could take me on if she wanted to. It wasn't often that Din found himself outmatched from even the start of a fight, but if it did come to a fight here and now, Fennec had him. She was a fast draw. She knew where to aim. But she didn't do anything. Fennec kept her eyes on her map and said, You need to be careful with Boba, Jaren. Din drew up short, completely thrown. What? Fennec looked at him then. You need to be careful, Fennec said. With Boba, with what the two of you are doing. I know, Fennec cut in. She grimaced and looked away. Din relaxed a little at that. Fennec was just as uncomfortable as he was. She took a breath. I know what you two are doing. Not the details, but I know Boba. I know you, at least a little. And I know what goes on here in the palace. You need to be careful. Din thought about that for a moment, fighting down the instinct to throw a punch or, barring that, bolt for the door. Careful how? He finally asked. Something in Fennec's face told him that she approved of his question. There are, Fennec said, people that Boba helps, let's say. You knew that, right? Din nodded. He thought of Theron in the room down the hall, the marks Boba's whip had left across his back. Din's own bruises had faded some, but he could still feel them. He could still feel Boba's thumbs pressed into the hollows of his hips, his hand around Din's throat, even though Boba hadn't put his hand around Din's throat since that first time down in the kitchens. He's been doing that for years, Fennec said. Both of us have. That's how we met, did you know? There used to be a cantina in Mos Eisley that catered to beings like us. Beings like you, Din said warily, watching her. beings who like to cause pain. Beings like you, too, Fennec said, eyes glittering. Or have you not liked any of it, what Boba's been showing you? Din flushed all the way up to the roots of his hair, which made Fennec chuckle. I thought so, she said. Boba and I met there. Our tastes are mutually exclusive, let's say. But we got along well enough that when Jabba needed someone to do some wet work for him, Boba recommended me. Boba got you into Jabba's outfit? He did, said Fennec, nodding. Not that Jabba needed much prompting, of course. I had a reputation even then. I'm sure you did, Din muttered. He'd heard of Fennec Shand all the way out on Navarro. For some reason, that made Fennec chuckle again, and she took another pull with Boshka. The point, she continued once she was finished, is that Boba can handle delicate arrangements. He's been doing it for years. It's nothing new to him, and he never lets his arrangements get in the way of his business. But what you two are doing, that's new. How is what we're doing new? Din asked, baffled. I saw, but he... Din stopped, confusion deepening. How could what Din and Boba had found between them be new? Din had seen Boba flogging Theron. That was how all of this had started. It's new, Fennec said. Because Boba cares about you, you idiot. Din scowled. I know that, he said. He cares about everyone. Well, everyone in the outfit. Fennec stared at Din. He felt himself growing red again, so he growled out, What? It's true. He looks after everyone. Nora, Geeta, Theron, Kasik, you, me? It's just... I thought that was just what he does. It might be true, Fennec allowed, still staring. But the way Boba looks out for Nora isn't the way he looks out for me, and it's certainly not the way he looks out for you. What are you saying? Din asked directly, too tired to play this sort of game. Fennec sighed. If Boba hasn't said anything to you, it's not my place, she said. You clearly think it's somewhat your place, Din snapped. You've already said something. I did, said Fennec. You deserve the warning, that's all. Be careful. Why? Fennec studied Din for a long moment and then relented. Because Boba, she said, choosing her words slowly, carefully, has other things that he's answering to. Other goals. It's not just you and me and Nora and all the rest. It's not just his idea of revenge he's got going. It's what? Din growled. His head hurt. He didn't have time for this. He didn't have the patience for it. It's a shadow, Fennec said. Boba's trying to get out from underneath the shadow, and it's more important to him than anything else. More important to him than you, Fennec was saying. Din shook his head. He knew that. Gorga's shadow, Din said. Jabba's? But we're working on that, as long as Gorga doesn't get the drop on us. No, said Fennec. Not Gorga's shadow. Jango's. Jango Fett, Din asked, puzzled. Fennec nodded. His father. She nodded again. That doesn't make any sense, said Din. You didn't know Jango. You said that you didn't either. I knew him by reputation, Fennec corrected. Never met him. But what I did know... Jaren... Jango Fett was the best. Untouchable. We all wanted to be him. Din's brow furrowed. What does that have to do with Boba? He asked. He died in the Clone Wars, right? So he's been dead for, what, 30 years? More, said Fennec. He died during the first battle of Geonosis at the very start of the Clone Wars. So why does it matter what his... What his legend was like, Din pressed, still not understanding. Boba had lived over 30 years without his father. Din knew that Boba still felt his loss. Din's own parents had been dead almost as long, and Din still missed them sometimes. Still had a small, desolate, empty place inside of his chest when he thought of them, but... But who my father was doesn't matter anymore, Din thought. Din's father had been a shepherd, a farmer. A gentleman, if Din remembered him right. Din's chance to grow up just like his father, gentle and tame and content to live in just one place, had long since passed. Fennec sighed. "There aren't any other Jarens out in the galaxy, are there?" she asked. Din shrugged. "There probably are," he said. "It's a big galaxy." Fennec rolled her eyes again. "But they're not your Jarens," she said. "Your people, are they?" Din shook his head. "No," he said, "not anymore. Not after I took the creed." Din doubted that there were any blood relatives left on his home planet. The Mandalorians that had come to fight had driven the Separatists back, but Din had been the only foundling added to the core that day. Everything else had burned. A strange, hollow pang went through Din. He didn't know why. "I haven't thought about my home planet in years. Not seriously, not as anything more than a bad dream or a series of sense memories, impressions, the odd scrap of conversation. But that little village had been Din's home once, his family. His body remembered comfort, remembered happiness. Gualamas ruffling his hair with their wet noses, reeds brushing against the backs of his legs. The covert had been Din's home for a long time. The covert and the battered walls of the Razor Crest, but before he'd had those, he'd had... parents, Din thought. Grandparents, aunts and uncles, cousins, neighbors. Everyone had worn red, and everyone had cooked for the village's feast days. Everyone had pitched in to help with the harvest, to shelter a neighbor whose house had been washed away in the floods, to decide what to do when someone broke one of the village's few laws. If any of them had lived, Din's parents or grandparents or aunts or uncles, his cousins, their cousins, had survived the Separatist attack. They weren't Din's family, any more than the tribe was now. Din had been gone a long time. He'd given up his history to become Mandalorian. "They wouldn't know me." That was a startling thought. Din wasn't sure he'd ever had a thought like that before. That he would be a stranger if he went back to the place he'd come from and looked to see if anyone was left. "We were a peaceful people. No one in the village Din had been born in had fought. They hadn't been warriors. Din couldn't remember even seeing a blaster before the Separatists had come. Some of Din's father's friends had hunted, braving the highlands around the village to hunt the quick little he-deer that would chew on the village's crops, or the occasional fearsome Urana that had wandered too close to the Gualama flocks, but when the hunters had gone out after their prey, they had only carried plasma bows. No one else had carried any weapons. "But I'm a warrior now." Din blinked and shook his head, clearing that away. He hadn't ever intended to go back to his home planet. He supposed that he could go back now that he wasn't Mandalorian anymore, but Din didn't see the point. Even if the village had survived the Separatists' attack, what was Din supposed to do? Go back and stake out a plot of land? Farm? Herd Gualamas for the rest of his days? "I'd be better off among the Tuscans," Din thought. "At least they'd understand when I had to fight something, when I'd need to hunt." "Boba doesn't feel that way about Jango Fett," said Fennec, oblivious to the direction of Din's thoughts. He feels like he has something to live up to." "Really?" Din asked, more confused than before. "But what does it matter what his father was like, what his reputation was? Why is he this shadow over Boba?" "You're asking the wrong person," said Fennec. "I'm not after any legacy, but Boba is." "A legacy?" Fennec shrugged. "I think, anyway." Her tone went wry. "I'm guessing a little. Boba hasn't exactly been open about it. But he's got something. He's got something inside of him. Something driving him, pushing him. And whatever it is, it's the most important thing in the galaxy to him. He'll put it before anything else. So how can you be sure that's what he wants? Din asked. A legacy. Din hadn't thought about a legacy before. What's the point of a legacy? A legend. Din thought of his allure again. Our children can't eat songs. Legacies and legends didn't matter. Providing for the tribe did. Keeping everyone alive mattered. That was why the Allard encouraged them all to keep their names to themselves, to keep them within the covert. No one on Navarro had needed to know Din's name. The guild had only needed to know that Din would work. But Boba, Din remembered again, an inkling of understanding flickering through the confusion in his head. Never had a tribe, growing up. He didn't have older warriors to protect him, brothers and sisters to train with. Din hadn't needed his name out in the galaxy because the covert had kept it safe for him while he'd been out hunting. Everyone who'd needed to know Din's name had known it. But Boba hadn't had that. Boba hadn't had his father's protection. He'd only had his father's name. Oh, Din said, finally understanding. He rubbed his forehead. That was a lot to think about. It was more than that. It was a way of thinking Din didn't understand. Didn't know how to understand. He'd never had a clan name to worry about, a Buir to live up to, a shadow to escape. Paz did, Din thought. Paz wanted to be like Palas so badly he'd break his fingers training. He drilled every day, even after the trainers told him to rest, to stop before he hurt himself. Din had done the same thing, practicing katas over and over again, throwing punches until his knuckles bled. So he hadn't said anything to anyone when he'd caught Paz sneaking out at night to get more practice, even when Paz had slunk back into the foundling's bunks in the morning with his fingers clumsily taped. But for me, it was a way to prove that I belonged there, Din thought. It wasn't about living up to anyone. It was about proving that I was Mandalorian too, even though no one thought I could do it. No one had adopted Din. The tribe had looked after him, the whole tribe. There hadn't been any one warrior to drop the weight of their legacy on Din's thin shoulders. But Palas, Din remembered, gave his name to Paz. And Boba has Jango's name. Yeah, said Fennec, watching Din carefully. Oh. And, well, Boba hasn't said anything about it, not really, but it's not hard to put the pieces together. He wanted that armor back. Of course he did, Din said, puzzled. Boba was Mandalorian. Any Mandalorian would want their Beskar gone. Fennec made a dismissive sound. Not any armor, she said. His armor, his father's armor. I guess you pass it down, father to son? Parent to child, yeah. Din said, if you've got a parent with a full set, anyway. Otherwise, you've got to earn your armor. That what you did? Din nodded. My helmet, he said, tapping his forehead, was a gift, a sponsorship. That was how my tribe accepted foundlings. If a warrior, any warrior, thought that you could cut it as a trainee, they'd sponsor you with enough Beskar for a helmet. The rest I earned for myself. That how it works for all Mandalorians? I'm not really an authority on all Mandalorians, Din admitted. But that's how it worked for my tribe. Strill and Jag's band probably do the same. Fennec shot Din a strange look at that, her eyes flickering over the darksaber on his hip. Really, thought Din, vague crossness shifting in his chest. Does everyone know what the darksaber means but me? But shrugged, letting the point drop. He wanted that armor, she repeated, not anyone else's. Not any of that raw Beskar he's got beneath the palace. He's the same about that hunk of junk he calls a starship. His ship's not that bad, Din said, thinking of the Huntress and the way she'd rattled coming back into Atmo, or even of the Razor Crest, which had been literally rebuilt from scrap more than once. Fennec snorted. For all that clank he's sitting on? Sungala junkie, she said. Din winced, conceding the point. Boba wasn't quite as well off as Jabba had been, but Jabba had had centuries to build up his empire. Boba had been at it for a few months, and already credits and clink of every sort were passing through the palace's doors, and Boba got a cut of all of it. He probably wasn't rich enough just yet to outfit himself with a Kalevalan yacht like a Crimson Dawn kingpin, but in another year or so he'd probably be there. His ship was his father's ship, Fennec said. That ship, his armor, Jango's name and reputation, that's what Boba has of him, and that's important. I don't understand, said Din plainly. Jango was his father, yes, but his father's dead. The armor, the ship, why is it all so important? It's just... The armor is Boba's Beskar Gam, I understand why he'd want that back, but the ship? This legacy you think that Boba's after? I thought that Jango was just a bounty hunter, not a king. Fennec's face did something complicated there, a twitch or a ripple like Din had tossed a stone into still water. Jaren, she said, don't you have anything of your father's? Din shook his head. I don't remember my father, really, Din admitted. Most of what Din still remembered was the Separatist attack, the color of his father's hood, the ashes in his hair. There were older memories, too, but they weren't very clear. Their edges were smudged and blurry. Din remembered his father's hands, strong and clever, whittling and carving and teaching Din how to tie knots. Hands against Din's chest while Din learned how to swim. Hands on his shoulders as Din looked up at a star-flecked sky. He sang, I think. We kept gualamas, and my father would sing to bring them in from the field. Din didn't remember if his father had sung well, if Din had liked hearing him, if Din himself had sung along, learning his father's trade, but that's all I remember. Your father a Mandalorian? Din shook his head. No, he said. I've told you already, I was a foundling, brought into the tribe during the Clone Wars. That was all Din had to say, Fennec understood. She nodded. He wondered abruptly where she'd come from. She was older than Din. She'd been hunting and killing since at least the rise of the Empire. Din had been rescued only a few months before the end of the Clone Wars. What happened to her people, Din wondered. How did she end up here? Most beings didn't end up on Tatooine by conscious choice. Din had thought before that the planet had its own strange sort of gravity. It caught beings who were unmoored, who were drifting through space without anything else to tether them down. But to end up here, you have to be unmoored, Din thought, uprooted. Fennec must have come from somewhere. Shand wasn't a Tatooinean name, a Sarolane's name. Fennec had an even mid-rim accent. She could be from almost anywhere. Corellia, maybe? Chandrilla? Caladan? There were hundreds of planets Fennec Shand could have come from. Thousands. So many worlds had been caught up in the Clone Wars, so many places torn apart, confused, boundaries shifted and muddled. Any of them could have grown Fennec, just like any of them could have grown Din. She's like me, Din thought. The depth of the feeling surprised him. Fennec was hard, harder than Din. Din wasn't cut out to be an assassin. He could kill, had killed within just the last cycle, in fact, had shoved the Darksaber under that Imperial officer's ribcage and twisted. But there was a difference between killing an enemy in a fight and hunting another sentient down to put a blaster bolt in the back of their head. Doing that required something Din didn't have. But she's still like me. Fennec had chosen Tatooine, Boba, this life. That made her more like Din than unlike him. He thought, not for the first time, that Fennec would have made a good Mandalorian. But she won't accept any Beskar, he thought. She won't take the... he corrected himself. Creed. Why? Fennec had known other Mandalorians. She'd told Din about them. What did she know about them, Din thought to himself, that made her decide she didn't want to become one? She'd mentioned several Mandalorian bounty hunters before. Boba's father, a Bevan, a Braylor, a Hokan. She'd described them to Din in loose terms. Hard but competent, fierce but just. The Skiratas had been clannish. Bevan had been fair. What creeds did they follow? What creeds did Fennec see and decide not to swear? Fennec kicked Din in the ankle, lightly. Whatever you're thinking about, she told him. Knock it off, it makes you look sad. Sorry, Din said, pulling his thoughts away with some effort. Fennec rolled her eyes. I'm not... What you and Boba do, she said, it's none of my business. I mean, she continued, voice sharpening when Din opened his mouth, it's really none of my business, and I'd prefer not to get involved. Din nodded. But, Fennec said, whatever you two are doing, just think about it, okay? And be careful. Don't hang your entire heart on it. Boba, this isn't a good time for him to be getting all twisted up about, well, about anything. And it's not a good time for him to be getting dragged into the middle of Mandalorian politics, either. Din snorted. You don't have to worry about that, he said. As soon as Ushib clears them all, the others will be heading off to Mos Pelgo. What about you? Fennec asked, tone level. Boba, he's got other things to focus on, and... She sighed, pulling a face. And you could get hurt, she continued. If you don't understand, if you're not careful, Boba could hurt you. I don't think he'd mean to, but he could. What about me? I'll be here still, Din said. And Boba, I trust him. You're not going with the others? Din shook his head. Why not? Boba needs my help, said Din. And the others... I can't go with them. I'm not Mandalorian anymore. That's why you don't have to worry about Boba getting dragged into the middle of it. That, finally, made Fennec react. She raised a single eyebrow. She was not, however, surprised. Din's skin prickled. You knew that, he said. Paz has been talking about it. Boba says that you know everything that goes on here. Not everything, Fennec said, smiling faintly. But I know a lot, yeah. So you knew that I'm Darmanda, Din said. His anger was only faint, but it was still there. She'd still made him say it again, after Din had said it so many times already. I thought I knew, said Fennec. That friend of yours, the injured one, he's not quiet. Paz was used to bellowing instructions at a pack of excited foundlings. No, said Din, he's not quiet. But he is just about out of his mind with fever, Fennec continued, and I don't know much about Mando politics, but I know they're volatile. She shrugged. It seemed like the kind of information I should verify. So, you're not Mandalorian anymore, and these other Mandos will be leaving as soon as Ushib gives the all clear. Din nodded. You don't have to worry about Boba getting caught up in all of that, he said. Good. His attention needs to be here. It is here, Din said. Fennec laughed. Din stared at her, startled. He'd heard Fennec chuckle before, had heard her tease, but he'd never heard her laugh outright. What did I say? His attention, said Fennec, is on you, wherever you are. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You're a distraction, Jaren. Din couldn't help the shiver that went through him then. You're exaggerating, Din said, but the word sounded weak even to his own ears. He thought of leaning against the wall in the throne room, the feeling of Boba's eyes on him, The shiver that had gone through him then, too, the heady rush as his body realized that Boba's attention was fixed on him, despite everyone and everything else in the throne room. "I'm really not," Fennec's expression flickered. "Listen," she said, "what you and Boba do, that's your business. I don't want to get involved. I really," she said when Din opened his mouth again, "don't want to get involved. But my job is to keep this outfit running, so when Boba tries to drop everything to go tearing off after you, I am involved, no matter what any of us want." Din flushed. I didn't intend to fly off on him," he said. "It's just..." Fennec held up a hand, and Din obediently closed his mouth again. Fennec had a presence like Boba in her way. She was sharper than Boba, a gleaming edge instead of an implacable wall, but she still had the air of an allure about her, something that commanded respect, attention, obedience. Something inside of Din leaned towards her, something in him wanted to listen. "I don't need details," she said. "The things I know a lot because I have to know what's going on in here, but details, no, that's your business." "But..." Din winced. "But," he thought, "whatever you and Boba are doing, you need to be careful, Jaren," Fennec repeated. "Boba, this is important to him, making this work, making a name for himself, living up to, I don't know, to this idea he's got in his head of the kind of man that his father wanted him to be. It's more important to Boba than anything. You're a distraction." Her tone was gentle. "And there might come a time soon when Boba sets all distractions aside and goes for what he wants." "How do you know that?" Din asked softly. Fennec looked at him. "What else would make a man crawl out of a sarlacc's belly?" Din's heart sank. Fennec. Din didn't know how he knew it, but he knew she was telling the truth. He could taste it like ashes in the air. "And Gorga's circling," Fennec continued, still gentle. "There's already been attacks. If Boba's too distracted..." "We're all in danger," Din thought. Fennec didn't say it. She didn't need to. He swallowed. "She thinks that I'm a liability, a weak point in Boba's armor. And worse, she's not wrong." Din had already proved that he was weak. Not fragile, but certainly not made of Beskar. Din pushed his breath out through his nose, then nodded. "I'll be careful," he said. "I won't... I know that all of this," he gestured vaguely around him, "has been different for everyone. I can stay away if that will help." "At this point, it probably won't," said Fennec wryly. "We just spent the entire time you were gone worrying about where you were. I'm not trying to scare you off, Jaren. I like you. I just want you to be ready, is all." She'd said "we" instead of Boba, which softened the blow a little. "Ready for what?" Fennec shrugged. "Ready for things to go bad," she said. "Between me and Boba, or just in general?" Din wanted to ask. But he wasn't sure that he wanted to hear the answer, so he just nodded tiredly. "Kark, Jaren," said Fennec, looking pained. "I'm exhausted just looking at you." "It's been a long day for everyone," Din muttered. "True," said Fennec. "But still, go rest. Staying awake down here with me isn't going to bring Ushib here any faster." Din didn't want to sleep. He didn't want to go to his own room, or even up to Boba's. He didn't want to be alone with his thoughts. "A distraction? Am I a distraction?" Din didn't know. He didn't understand the point of Fennec's warning. "She sees everything," Din remembered. "Boba said that she finds out everything sooner or later. Can she see the way I feel about Boba?" The fierce, bright thing in the center of Din's chest, the feeling Din hadn't named yet, affection and trust and respect and more. Could Fennec see that? She must have seen something. That, or she was tired of Boba shirking his duties as Tatooine's king to spar with Din or spend long nights working Din over. "Jaren," said Fennec, her eyes dark. She reached out, hesitated, and then settled a hand on Din's elbow. "I didn't mean..." I'm going to get something to eat," Din said abruptly, standing up so fast he nearly knocked over what was left of his glass of water. He tried to smile. He knew it didn't reach his eyes, but there was nothing Din could do about that. "Where's my helmet? Still upstairs?" Fennec looked at Din for a second, expression pinched, but she relented. "No," she said, and she stood up, leaned over the bar, and rummaged around. She came up, holding Din's helmet. "Here," she said. Din stared at it for a second, then her, but he took it. "Why?" he started. Fennec shrugged. "We didn't know when you'd come back," she said, "or where, but I figured you'd want to check in with Boba first, and he's usually down here, so..." "Thanks," Din said. He didn't put the helmet on, but its weight in his hands was reassuring. Fennec sighed. "I don't really want to hurt you either, you know," she said. You're not bad for a Mandalorian." "How'd you figure that?" Din muttered. His visor stared up at him. "And I'm not a Mandalorian anymore." Fennec just shrugged again. "Toro Calican shot me in the gut and left me to bleed to death in the sands," Fennec said. Din winced. He didn't understand the shift in conversation, but he knew what Fennec was talking about. Din had thought her dead. Toro Calican had gone straight for the kid after leaving Fennec to die. Din had gone right after him. He hadn't stopped to check if Fennec was alive. Boba must have come up on Fennec minutes after Din had left to get back to Mos Eisley. "If it helps," Din said, still faintly guilty that he'd left Fennec there to die like that, slow and painful and with no hope of rescue. "I killed him." "It helps a little," Fennec allowed. She gave Din a small, sideways smile. "I went looking for him once I was back on my feet. Didn't find him, but I found a twitchy little mechanic in Mos Eisley who told me he was taken care of." "Pally," Din thought. "Why'd you agree to go on a hunt with someone like Toro Calican?" Fennec asked. "I'd heard of you. You were a big man in the Bounty Hunters Guild. You didn't have to let a little runt like that follow you around." "I needed the credits." That had been back at the very beginning of all of this, only a handful of weeks after Din and the kid had been run off of Navarro. Din had had rations aboard the crest before he'd run, but they'd been his rations. Grogu had gone through a week's worth of food in about 2 days. Din cut back on his own rations, but by the time he'd landed on Tatooine in Pelimoto's Bay, Din had been pretty desperate. "He agreed to give me the bounty if he got to keep the fame. You were worth a lot of credits." "And you believed him?" Din shrugged. He hadn't been too worried about Calican, not even after Calican had betrayed him. The kid had been fast with his trigger hand, but Din had been faster. "And if he'd tried to shoot me in the stomach like he shot you, he would have just run into my Beskar." "I needed the credits," Din repeated. Fennec shook her head. "You wouldn't have shot me," she said. "I wouldn't have left you to bleed out, anyway," Din said. Din would have shot Fennec if she'd tried to fight, but he would have shot her in an arm or a leg first as a warning, and then if she'd kept fighting, he would have killed her. That made Fennec smile. "Fair enough," she said. "That's why you trust me," Din asked. "Because I would have shot to kill." "Because you would have made it clean," she said. "That's the kind of hunter you are. That's rare these days. Something to respect." Din wasn't sure what to do with that statement. "Is that why you wanted to warn me?" "Partly," Fennec allowed. "Part of it's that I think you're an honest person, and that deserves honesty in return. And part of it is that you were Mandalorian, and I've seen what your kind can do when you get surprised or upset. I wanted to prepare you, I guess. Forewarned is forearmed." "Oh," said Din. He didn't really know what to do with that, either. Everything she'd told him rattled around in his head. "I need to think," he thought. His grip tightened on the helmet. "I need to... I need to sort this all out. You really going to go eat? Fennec asked. Din nodded. He was going to go down into the kitchens anyway. Maybe check in on the verdict. On Strill and Jag, Din corrected, catching himself before he could pick up Boba's nickname for the pair. Fennec nodded. No violence, she warned him. And here, take this. She reached into a pocket on her belt and fished out a small, glowing red device. A tracking fob. Din eyed it. I would have thought that you'd just stick one into my helmet. Fennec smiled the way Boba often smiled, like a Nexu with something caught at the end of its claws. I thought about it, she said, but this'll have to do for now. Din sighed, seeing that she wouldn't be swayed, and took the fob, shoving it into an empty loop on his utility belt. The red light flickered as it paired with Din's vitals, and then a new glowing red dot appeared on Fennec's map. Is this just so I don't go out the window again? Din asked. Fennec chuckled. Maybe a little, she said. I'll call you when Ushib and Boba get in. Go eat. Find a corner to nap in, if you can. We're in for a busy few days. Din slipped his helmet back on over his head and nodded, though he had no intention of napping. Fennec let him go without calling him on it, which Din appreciated. Having his helmet back on settled Din some. I've told everyone I needed to tell that I'm Darmanda, he thought. I shouldn't put it back on. But it was useful, the helmet. Din had missed it out in the desert. He'd missed the ability to narrow his field of vision in from half a mile away, the ability to take thermal scans, to track prints. And if Gorga does attack... If Gorga did attack, Din wanted to be armored. Paz was hurt. There were foundlings here. Boba was here. And Nura and Fennec and Ushib and all the rest... This armor, Din thought, walking away from the throne room, lets me keep them all safe. That was important. And no one here, Din continued grimly, is strong enough to take my armor away. Paz might try, if he recovered quickly. Strill and Jag might too, but they weren't strong enough to take it from him. And I need it, Din thought, at least for now. He tried not to think of anything else as he made his way down through the palace towards the kitchens. He'd done too much thinking over the past standard day. He'd spent too much time stuck in his own head. It made Din long again for Boba's rooms, for the quiet that would come over him if Boba brought out a flogger, for the sense of peace Din could find whenever he put control in Boba's hands. Boba, he'll still help me, right? Din wondered. Boba had wanted to help Din before all of this had gotten so tangled and confused. He'd wanted to help Din before he'd been Din's friend, when Din had been just another bounty hunter hanging around looking for work. He might not want Din in his bed again, in his arms, and Din could live with that. But Din hoped that Boba would still want to help. Din pushed the thought aside as he reached the kitchen door. He wondered absently who was cooking with Ushib gone. She'd been away for days now, but there was food to eat still. The massive curry pot in the center of the room was still warm. Someone had come in and made bread. Dozens and dozens of flat, uncooked heaps of Jaipur bread had been laid out along one of the smooth counters to rest overnight before they were fired in the morning. Nora? Din wondered. Somehow he couldn't imagine Fennec down here needing meal together. But Nora liked to keep herself busy, and she'd been just as anxious and frazzled over the past few days as the rest of them. Din even found a refrigerated storage unit that had been stocked with pre-cooked food. He searched around for a minute before his eyes landed on a large bowl, which Din quickly filled with cold food. There were small, sealed containers of Yazda, jars of preserved fruit, even a few individually wrapped Hanchun pastries, the leftovers from a few days ago. Din threw it all in the bowl, making sure he had something sweet for the foundlings, something easy to eat for Paz, and something filling for Strill and Jag, then took a detour into the training room he'd once used to spar with Boba for a quick restock on medical supplies. Thus armed, Din angled towards the still-empty wing of the palace where Boba had stashed the others. Strill was, as Din guessed she'd be, on guard duty. She had planted herself in front of the door like a mother Gundark guarding the season's nestlings. Din smiled to see it. Strill, he called, giving her plenty of warning. He carried the bowl with both hands, so she didn't think that he was approaching her as a threat. She tensed anyway, armor clinking. Her hand drifted towards her blaster. Din stopped, 10 paces back, and studied Strill. The fierce tilt of her chin, her planted stance. Puss told you, Din said. He didn't need to elaborate. He did. She lifted her chin even higher. She was shorter than Din by 5 or 6 inches, and her armor looked too big on her, the cuirass loose, her pauldrons oversized. Maybe her armor had fit better when she'd been back with her own covert, fed and safe, but a year on the run had pared all of that away.
She's just a kid.
Is it true? Strill demanded. Are you Darmanda? Paz isn't a liar, Din said gently. No, Strill agreed, but he's confused, sick. He might have misheard or misunderstood or...
He didn't, Din said, still trying to speak gently. He's telling the truth. I'm Darmanda.
Strill recoiled. Her hand went to her blaster. She didn't draw it, which was a small miracle. If her allure had raised Strill like Din's allure had raised him, she probably wanted to shoot Din very badly. She had foundlings behind that door. A brother. An injured elder. Din took 2 very large, deliberate steps back and raised the bowl in his hand so Strill could see that he carried no weapon. I'm not gonna hurt you, Din said.
You're Darmanda, Strill spat back. You've...
Been Darmanda for weeks now, Din interrupted. I was Darmanda when you came here and asked for my help. I didn't hurt you then, and I won't hurt you now.
But
nothing, Din finally snapped, patience fraying. Here. Din closed the distance between them and shoved the bowl full of food and the back to rolls at Strill, mostly to give her something else to do with her hands.
What's...
Strill fumbled the bowl, but caught it before it hit the ground. She peered at it for a moment, then looked back up. Her stance hadn't softened, but at least her hands were full now. If she wanted to go for a blaster, she'd have to drop the supplies.
Medicine, Din said.
He tried to smooth the impatience out of his voice. The hurt. He'd known how Strill would react. He'd known. Food, too. Good food. Stuff the kids alike, I think. Ushib, the cook here, she's not Mandalorian, but the Tusken food's pretty close. She makes decent hanchun.
Hanchun?
Strill faltered again.
I don't understand.
It's food, Din said, deliberately misunderstanding. You've got to be hungry. The kids, too. Strill bristled, looking up from the supplies. There's medicine in there, too, Din continued. Antiseptin, some nutrient boosters, painkillers, to hold you over until the medic gets here.
Medic?
Ushib, Din said, bolstered by Strill's wary tone. Wary's good, he thought. Wary is better than angry. Wary means that she might listen. I'm Darmanda, but I'm offering help. Strill wasn't in a position to turn down any help, and Din thought, hoped, that she was sensible enough to understand that. Zhaig was young. Din had only spent a handful of minutes with him, but he knew that Zhaig was young. He couldn't have been more than 5 years past his foundling's trial. Couldn't be older than 17 or 18. Young enough to be stubborn. Not that Din had ever grown out of being stubborn himself. Garatin, Boba had said more than once. Sometimes Boba had said it like a compliment, and sometimes he'd said it like a curse. Now, standing in the hallway with Strill and trying to convince her that Din meant no harm, Din understood how Boba felt.
Her name's Ushib, Din continued. She's a Tusken.
One of the Sand People?
A Tusken, Din said firmly. They call themselves Tuskra.
They don't have med droids or surgeons in the Sand. Ushib is a Jita. She knows what she's doing. She'll help.
What's a Jita? Strill asked, still wary.
Our closest word is probably grandmother, Din said.
Oribuir?
Din didn't know if that was right. He only knew a handful of words in Mandalorian.
Mandoa,
Din corrected himself again. He only knew a handful of words in Mandoa.
and none of them were grandmother or grandfather. But Strill called me Orivod, older brother. So does Oribuir mean older parent? It apparently did not, because Strill stared at Din for several seconds, still and silent. Din felt his face grow hot. He was glad he'd stopped to put the helmet back on. "Oh," Strill finally said, shaking her head a little. "You mean Babuir, right? Like your father's father or your mother's mother?" Din nodded, relieved. "Babuir," he repeated, just like he did when Boba taught him a new word. "We didn't, that is, Paz and I, we didn't learn a lot of Mandoa," he tried to explain. "Our Alor didn't think it was a good idea." "Neither does our Alor," said Strill. "But my mother, she's Dareva, old-fashioned. She thought it was important for me and my brothers to learn a little. We've been teaching Paz a bit, but..." Strill caught herself and shook her head again. "But," she continued, voice harder than it had been before, "you're Darmanda. You shouldn't speak Mandoa." Din frowned a little. "I'm not a Hutt either, but I still know Huttese. Mandoa's just a language, isn't it?" "It's our language," Strill said. "And if you're Darmanda, you're not one of us." Din sighed. "No," he said, "I'm not. I told Paz, I know I'm Darmanda, I know what that means. If I shouldn't speak your language, fine, I don't know much of it anyway. But breaking the creed doesn't mean that I should leave you all to starve. Ushib, she's a Babuir," Din said. "Among the Tuscans, their grandmothers are medics too, healers. Ushib will help Paz. If she's not Mandalorian..." "The creed," Din cut in sharply, putting as much authority into his voice as he could manage, "does not say that you can't accept help from outsiders. I'm Darmanda. If you don't want anything else to do with me, fine, I won't come by again. But Ushib was never a Mandalorian. She's not Darmanda, and she can help." Strill hesitated again. It was hard for her, making a decision like this. Din could see it in the slump of her shoulders, the way her stance had shifted. Strill didn't know what to do. She's probably never had to make a decision like this before, Din thought. If Shaig was at most 17 or 18, Strill was only a few years older. She couldn't be more than 21 or 22. Old enough to go out on her own, but not old enough to know anything about the galaxy beyond the safety of the tribe. She'd never been outside of her covert beyond taking the Foundling's trial. She wasn't her tribe's hunter. She'd never been put in front of an enemy, a brother turned enemy, and been asked to decide whether or not her pride and her honor were worth the lives of others. "Come on," Din thought, keeping his mouth shut. This was Strill's decision. Din knew what choice he wanted her to make, but he couldn't make it for her. "Well, I could," he thought. She was just a kid, a Verdika, like Boba had said. She might be angry with Din, she might think him a threat, but she probably can't take me in a fight. If Din wanted to, he could make Strill and the others accept his help. But that will just make things worse. Strill had to decide whether or not to accept Din's help for herself. She had to decide that he wasn't the threat, that she and the others were safe here, or at least safe enough. That was the only way any of this would work. "Can she set a broken bone?" Strill finally asked. Din's heart soared. "Yes," he promised. "And treat a fever. She's..." "Tuscan medicine is rough," Din said, "but it's effective. Tuscans kept me alive when I was younger and injured. They saved Boba's life, too, after he got eaten by a sarlacc. Ushib's good. She can help."
"Darvod got eaten by a sarlacc?" Strill said, appalled.
Din couldn't help it. He smiled at her, even though she couldn't see it, a grin that made his cheeks hurt with its sudden force. "That's what I said when I heard about it. Apparently, yes, he did."
"And he's still alive?"
Din shrugged. "He's strong," he said. "And Ushib's care is good. She helped him. She can help Paz. And the kids. And you, too. She can take a look at that leg for you once she's dealt with the more serious injuries." Strill wavered for a moment, the bowl of supplies still clutched in her hands, and then she caved. Fine, she said. Fine, your medic can help. You can help too. We'll sit on Vizsla if we have to. But au revoir, she said, still using the Mandoa. You can't come in. Paz, if he sees you... Din blew out a breath. I know, he said. He told me on the Huntress. I won't come in. He doesn't have to see me again. Strill hesitated. Will he really? She started, then stopped, took a breath. Will he really try to kill you? Din shrugged with one shoulder. He said he would, he said. You've got to know him pretty well by now, too, right? Strill nodded. How often does Pa say things he doesn't mean? Din asked. He shrugged again, tiredly. I'd prefer he healed up a bit before he tried anything, but he probably will try. Oh, said Strill. Do you think... Am I supposed to? If you're Darmanda, then... I've got a duty to, right? I'm not an Alor, Din said. I can't tell you what your duty is. That sounds like a yes, anyway, Strill pointed out, a little wry. But you don't seem like you're Darmanda. How am I supposed to seem? Faint curiosity prickled at Din. How do you know what someone who's Darmanda is supposed to be like? Tallow, said Strill, like that explained everything. Din cocked his head, confused. Who? She was part of our tribe, Strill explained. But she lost her helmet in a cantina fight. She was Darmanda, too. Something cold settled at the bottom of Din's stomach. He heard the word. Was. What happened to her? He asked, even though he thought that he already knew. What was she like? She couldn't handle it, Strill said. She was mad, screaming. It was awful. Tamsin made her stop, but... I'm not mad, Din finally said. He knew how Tamsin had made Tallow stop screaming. I'm too busy to go the way of the Wurrek, honestly. Are you sure? Strill asked. Tallow did a lot of damage before Tamsin stepped in. If you think you're gonna go crazy... I have people looking out for me, Din cut in gently. Not a tribe, but allies, friends. They won't let me lose it. Go crazy like Tallow did. Boba Fett? Din nodded. And others, he said, including the man I'm sending you all to once Ushib takes a look at you. His name is Cobb Vanth. He's a friend. And I have a son, too.
Really? Strill asked, surprised. Where, here?
She looked around like she expected Grogu to pop out of the walls or the floor. Din shook his head. It's not exactly safe here, he explained. My kid is younger than your three. It wasn't a lie, not really. Grogu might have been 50 standard, but he wasn't talking and scouting and bossing other foundlings around like Paz's kids were able to. Paz's three, Strill corrected, shuddering. I'm not ready to settle down with a pack of foundlings just yet. Yeah, said Din, smiling to himself. Neither was I. My kid, he's somewhere safe, somewhere far away from here. But he checks in now and then, Din tapped his broken comlink. Like I said, I'm too busy to lose it. Strill hesitated, but she nodded. Okay, she said. Okay? Okay. Strill shook her head a little, the Beskar of it gleaming where the paint had been chipped away. I doubt I could beat you in a fight, anyway. Oh, said Din, even though he agreed. Strill could manage to kill him if she got the drop on him, but Din was old and paranoid. It was hard to catch him by surprise these days. Only Boba managed it with any regularity. Strill snorted. Paz has told us about you, she said. He said you fight like a crate dragon. That made Din's smile widen, affection welling up in his chest. It stung because Din would never be Paz's brother again, but he held the affection to himself anyway, ignoring the curl of pain and grief. He has never seen a Krayt dragon, Din said. He doesn't know what they fight like. Still, said Strill. She paused, looking down at the supplies in her arms. Thanks, she said, for this and for coming to help, even if you're Darmanda. You've got foundlings with you, Din said. Of course I was going to help. Strill nodded, shifting on her feet. She'd broken her ready stance, which Din took as a good sign. He nodded back, one warrior to another, and turned to go. Strill didn't call out for him as he left, so Din kept going. It was hard, leaving her there. Every instinct Din had demanded that he turn around and go back, that he take her place guarding the door, watching over them all. But I am not their brother. Din didn't know what he was anymore. Everything had been upended. He had Fennec's warning ringing in his head. She didn't seem to think that there'd be a place here for Din either, not in the long term. That Bobo was going to choose one day, and the choice he made would leave no room for Din. Boba's helping me because I need it, Din thought to himself as he went blindly down the hallway, moving on instinct. But what happens when I don't need it anymore? Or if I still need it and Boba doesn't want to keep giving it? Fennec had been pretty clear. For Boba, this was just another arrangement, one of the dozens of arrangements he'd had across the years. He was Din's friend, yes, but that was all this. The marks pressed into Din's back, the bitten skin of his shoulder blades, the memory of Boba moving inside him, panting, hot and huge and implacable, was. That was all that we agreed to, though, Din reminded himself as his feet carried him back past the throne room. He didn't know where he was going, just that he wanted to be there alone. We agreed on honesty, on respect, on trying new things, but not on whatever it was that had somehow tangled itself up in Din's chest, that strange feeling of something, of respect, of familiarity, of trust and admiration and comfort. It was all knotted together, and Din couldn't pull any of the tangled strands apart to look at them, to really look at them. He cares about you, Fennec had said. Din had known that. But the way Fennec had said it made it sound like she thought Boba cared more about Din than he should, that Din was either a distraction or deluded, that the way he felt about Boba, deep and nameless, wasn't returned. It's not that, Din thought to himself, edged with desperation. It's just that I... He couldn't say it, couldn't think it. The thought, the word, was too enormous. She's probably right, Din thought. Fennec was probably right. Din had let this... It had gotten confused. When Boba had first offered to flog Din to teach him how to use pain, to like it, what he'd offered had sounded simple, straightforward. Nothing's simple anymore, Din thought. His body carried him to the lift in Jabba's old tower on instinct. Din stared at the controls for a second, hesitating. He didn't want to go up to Boba's tower. So he punched the lowest button instead and breathed a sigh of relief as the doors closed, and then Din was rattling down into the lower levels of the palace. The lift opened onto the cavernous, still, quiet room that had once been Jabba's sauna. Din made his way to the edge of the pool, still on autopilot, his body moving without much input from his head. He stood there for a minute, listening to the quiet whisper of the water. And then Din shed his armor, piece by piece. The Tuskra do this sometimes, he thought. If a wandering warrior found an oasis in the desert and there was no one else around, he'd shed his robes, his cowl, his weapons, and wade into the water. It was supposed to be sacred. A time for a warrior to think and rest, to connect to the spirit of the desert. There was no desert spirit down here, and Din had done too much reflecting. But Din did the same thing any Tusken would do, stripping down and leaving everything in a pile at the edge of the pool before sloshing his way into it. It's not rest, he thought, but it's restful. The water would at least take some of the weight off of his knees, would at least get the sand out of Din's hair. The water was still warm. Din took a few experimental laps, pushing off from the pool's textured floor, and let the water lap at his flanks, his chin. He wondered idly where Boba kept his soap, but didn't feel any particular urge to go find it. For now, this was enough. Swimming slowly in the darkness, the warm water soothing Din's tired muscles, his aching shoulders. He did feel a bit like a Tuscan warrior finding solace in an oasis. That was what the oases were for, the story singer said. Tatooine was a hard place. Living here was brutal, and the desert always won in the end. But the desert gave up what balms and comforts it could. Oases to swim in, aquifers to drink from, seasonal rains to water crops, black melons and cedar trees. There were no trees down here. Boba's little pool wasn't a real oasis, after all. But there were vines creeping over the walls, and tall, leafy plants clustered around the pool's edge. The smell of them, green and alive, filled the air. It's quiet, Din thought. It's nice. I can see why Boba wanted to build it, even if it took a while to clean it out after Jabba. He was still trying not to think about what Fennec had said, that Din was a distraction, that Boba didn't need Din around, that Boba had something else, something that was more important to him, something that Boba would not or could not waver from. It hurt. Din shook himself, desperation beginning to buzz against his mouth, and shoved himself underwater. It was too warm to shock him, really, but it was still a change in sensation, and Din swam underwater until his lungs burned and anchored him into his body. I can't outrun this, he thought. He couldn't outfly it, but I can do something. He could keep his body so busy that his mind had nowhere else to go, that these circles he was running in could rein in his thoughts. So Din did that. He swam in the warm darkness for some indeterminate length of time, his legs heavy, his body brimming with exertion. Swimming wasn't running through a sword form or tussling around in a spar, but it was something, and Din threw himself into it with everything he still had left. He didn't know how much time had passed before a voice broke the darkness. Din, said Boba, crouching by the edge of the pool. Din slowly stopped swimming, wading instead. His feet grazed the bottom of the pool. You made it back, Din said, voice hoarse. Fennec was going to... Oh. Din's calm was broken. Fennec hadn't known. Guilt flickered through him before he remembered that she'd given him a tracking fob. Fennec had known where he was, at least. We did make it back, Boba said. He'd stripped out of his armor, but not his robes. Water lapped his boots. Had no trouble. Ushib's with your Vode now. Come here. They're not my Vode anymore, Din muttered. The shape of the room carried it back to Boba, who frowned. Still, said Boba, she's with them. She'll look after your... after Vizsla. Come here, Jaren. He put enough authority in his voice that Din went towards him instinctively, pushing water aside. How are you holding up? Boba asked. Din stopped. That was a thorny question. Fine, said Din, before he remembered that Boba didn't like the word. He treaded water for a moment. No, he thought, watching Boba's face. He doesn't like it when it's not true. Fine, Din relented. Not fine, but all right. Tired. Sore, though the water helps. It's just... Din trailed off again. He got the feeling that Fennec didn't want Din to share her warning with Boba. Din wasn't even sure how he'd voice what Fennec had told him, anyway. Boba didn't look like a man trapped in shadow. He just looked like Boba. Tired, familiar, watching Din with an expectation in his eyes. Din scowled. Fine, he muttered, and started swimming towards Boba again, rising back up to his feet when the pool became shallow enough. Fennec said that you'd gone off to rest, Boba said. I had hoped that you were asleep. Din snorted. This is restful, he said. He didn't leave the pool, staying in water that went up to his waist. Boba looked at Din for a while. He looked exhausted. Guilt prickled at Din again. It's my fault, he thought. If I hadn't panicked, hadn't flown off, maybe he could have gotten some sleep. Come here, Boba said again, quietly. Din scowled. He felt not necessarily safe in the water, because he didn't feel threatened. Despite all of his bursts of temper, Din knew that Boba wouldn't hurt him. But the pool was neutral ground. Oases were places of peace, unless a band of slavers needed to be driven out of one. But he's already asked me to come, Din thought. He didn't want to argue about something as small and harmless as leaving the pool, not when we have other things to argue about. Din kept moving until he'd left the pool, until he'd come out of the water dripping and shivering a little at the chill. Din hadn't thought to stop anywhere and pick up something to dry himself off with, so he just shook himself like a bantha clearing a wallow and dried himself off with his undershirt. His hair tickled the back of his neck. Boba stayed where he was, crouched at the edge of the pool a few feet away. He was watching Din again. "How are your bruises?" Boba finally asked, breaking the uneasy silence. The ones on Din's back warmed under Boba's attention. Din knew that the edges of those bruises, the uneven bursts where the flogger'd struck, had started to heal, but there was still plenty of bruising to feel. Sore, Din admitted, because it was true. "Haven't had much time to enjoy them, though," Din snorted. "Not really." Din hesitated, Fennec's warning in his ears. "Be careful." "Careful of what?" Din thought, tiredly. "Of getting too close? Of feeling something for Boba that he doesn't feel for me?" "How are you?" Din asked. "How are your bruises? Their spar had only been a few nights ago." Boba snorted right back and finally stood, straightening up. He rubbed the center of his chest, where Din had slammed into him to bowl him over. "Also sore," he said, "but I'll live. Listen, Din."
Can we wait?"
Din blurted out before he could stop himself. Boba froze. Din winced. "We should rest," Din said. He looked at Boba carefully. "Before we, you know, argue again." "Is it always an argument with you?" Boba muttered, but he was nodding. Din relaxed. Boba was agreeing with him. "Not always," Din said, tugging his pants on. He eyed his heap of Beskar. He really didn't want to put it all on again. "But someone keeps telling me that I'm stubborn, so..." Boba huffed. "Garatin," he said, "doesn't just mean that you're stubborn."
"What does it mean, then?"
"That you hang on like a bloody massif," Boba grumbled. "You dig your heels in." I was Mandalorian," Din pointed out. He decided against forcing his stiff limbs through his kuta and his armor and just collected it all up in a big, untidy, precarious pile, using his queer ass as a basket. Boba helped, collecting Din's kit, his weapons, the heavy folds of his cloak. "We're all stubborn." "Fair," Boba muttered. "But we don't have to argue about it." Din looked at him. "You have," he said, "strong feelings about all of this." A muscle in Boba's jaw twitched. "And I do too," Din said. "And we'll argue. It's fine. Neither of us have killed each other yet, right?" "Right," Boba finally allowed. He shook his head and then added, for good measure, "Garatin." Din smiled a little. "Garatin," he repeated. He heard Strill in his head, telling Din that he shouldn't speak Mandoa, but he pushed that thought away, too. It was just a language. Din spoke half a dozen. And he liked this, the scraps of words and phrases he'd picked up. Boba had wanted to share them with Din. Din liked the way Mandoa sounded. "You learn quick," Boba said. Din, arms full of armor, managed a faint shrug. The motion made his shoulders flex. His bruises throbbed. Boba was still looking, and even in the low light, Din could see the way his eyes darkened. "I've always had a head for languages," he said. "Be careful," he heard in Fennec's voice. "Be careful of what?" Din thought back fiercely. Boba was looking. Boba was close, standing at Din's side. "Be careful because he cares more for whatever quests he set in front of himself?" Din wasn't an idiot. Any Mandalorian knew that a quest came first. Din had been quested to get Grogu to the Jedi after all, and he'd done it. It had cost him, but he'd done it. So Boba's quested himself to live up to his father's name, Din thought. Or to get out from under his father's name entirely. Fine, I understand what that means. But now that he knew about it, Din could make sure that he didn't get in Boba's way. He wasn't about to force Boba to choose between his quest, between whatever he'd sworn to his father's memory, and Din himself. I would never. And if Fennec wants me to be careful with my heart or something, my honor, who I'm loyal to, well, she doesn't get to choose that for me. What Din felt for Boba, that was Din's business. He wouldn't name it if he couldn't help it, but he couldn't bring himself to crush it either. To squash the warmth that rose in his belly when he took a step towards the lift and Boba took a step with him. This is mine. So you don't want to talk right now, Boba said, as they climbed into the lift together. Din was dripping water everywhere. What do you want to do? I told you, Din said. I want to rest. Rest, said Boba, sounding doubtful. You look dead on your feet, Din said, frankly. It was true. Boba had bruises pressed into the hollows of his eyes, and some of his usual easy grace had faded to a more ponderous, unsteady sort of exhaustion. Oh, Boba rumbled, rolling his eyes. Well, then if it's for my benefit, after you. The lift let them out into that long hallway. It was verging on dawn now, not that Din cared. He was going to sleep. Or at least force himself to close his eyes for a while and let his thoughts run in circles. They went to the second lift together, side by side, and when the doors closed behind them and it was time to choose their destination, Boba looked at Din. What? He asked softly, and Din could hear a strange, new sort of edge in Boba's voice. One he'd never heard before. Do you want right now, Jerrica? What? Din didn't understand. I want, Boba said, the both of us to go up to my rooms, where I'm going to pitch that jetpack of yours out the window so I don't have to worry about you leaping into the sands. And then I want to sleep with you. I, Din spluttered, ears reddening. Boba's confession caught him by surprise, left him flat-footed, unsure. Boba smiled, eyes turning up, and Din realized that he was being teased again. That, he thought, is a good sign, isn't it? That was the way Din had felt in the desert when Boba had called him Jerrica again, and Din had realized that maybe he hadn't ruined everything between himself and Boba after all. Just sleep, Boba clarified. In a real bed, Jaren. Not the floor of some bucket of rust held together with spit and star prayers. The Huntress really wasn't that bad, Din said, feeling a little defensive of the ship that had protected Paz and the others for so long, and Boba snorted. I'm having it condemned, Boba said. I can do that now, did you know? Apparently Jabba was in charge of Mos Eisley's municipal departments as well as all of the criminal ones. And that makes you a ship inspector? Din asked, but he was smiling, which he thought was maybe why Boba had brought the Huntress up in the first place. That warm glow of something was awake in Din's chest again. He didn't crush it. He wanted to cup it in his hands and nurture it, like protecting a candle against the wind. It might burn his fingertips, but Din wouldn't mind. It would keep him warm for now, at least. What are you asking me? Din said, looking at Boba. Sometime over the past 2 weeks, it had gotten a lot easier to look Boba in the eye. Din hardly wanted to look away at all now. If you want comfort, Boba finally said, choosing his own words carefully. Companionship. It's been a long day. It had been a long day. Just sleep, Din pressed. No arguing, no talking. I don't know about you, Boba said dryly. But I'm about out of things to say, Jerrica. At least for today. Din nodded. Boba understands, he thought. Maybe that was why Din had been drawn to him so quickly, why he'd stuck around. Boba understands what it's like, how hard all of this can be. All right, Din said softly. He met Bubba's eyes again.
All right. Din nodded. Will it help you sleep if I'm there? He asked.
Bubba pulled a face. Din felt a little surge of satisfaction go through him.
Not so fun to have the conversation turned around on you, is it? Din thought.
It would, Bubba said. He looked rueful saying it, like he realized what Din had done, but felt that he deserved it anyway for all the times he'd asked Din the same question.
Will it help?
All right, said Din quietly. The smile Bubba gave Din then was a new smile, secret and soft, fond. The warmth in Din's chest flickered and surged. They didn't say anything more. They didn't need to. Bubba pressed the button for his rooms, and they took the lift to the top of the tower, and when the doors opened, Din deposited his armor and kuta into a lopsided pile by the lift. Bubba took more care with Din's weapons. He laid Din's blaster and the darksaber on top of his work table. He did not pitch Din's jetpack out of a window, though he did set it down away from the bed. Din rolled his eyes. He wasn't going to bolt again. He wasn't. The blast doors had come up again, revealing the desert and all of its early morning stillness, the gray light of dawn just beginning to give way. Bubba tapped one of his data pads, and a few doors, the ones around his bed, descended again. He didn't close all of them, but he closed off 2/3 of his large circular room, and the darkness that came with it wasn't quite the dark of night, but it was close. It'll be dark enough to sleep, at least, Din thought. He padded over to the bed and sat down cautiously. Bubba didn't say anything or otherwise change his mind, so Din swung his feet up and settled in. Bubba joined him after a minute, slipping into the other side of the bed. "Was just messaging Fennec," he reported. "She'll see we're not bothered unless something happens with your Vode. She's heard from Ushib. The foundlings are all going to be fine. Your brother's probably going to live."
"They're not my Vode," Din murmured. His heart did something complicated inside of his chest.
"The kids are okay. Paz will probably live."
Bubba huffed.
"You're Darvode, then," he said, mimicking Strill decently. Din swatted his side. Bubba had chosen to wear his robe, and Din missed the feeling of his skin, but he'd done enough to Bubba today. "I can survive without being cuddled," Din thought.
Bubba, almost as if he could read Din's mind like a Jedi, reached over and hooked an arm over Din's waist, tugging him firmly but insistently closer. Din went, bemused, and Bubba made a pleased hmm sound. Din's heart began to beat a little faster. The last time they'd done this.
"Settle down," Bubba rumbled, picking up on that too. "We're just resting, Jerrica, that's all. You don't need to get all worked up about it."
"I can leave," Din said awkwardly. He didn't know why he'd agreed to do this. The proximity, everything he'd said to Bubba. The revelations, the Death Watch, the Mandalore. There wasn't room for it here, in this bed. This was a stupid idea, maybe. It's fine. I can go.
Nijaha, Bubba grumbled, pulling Din towards the warm curve of his body.
Din resisted for a moment, thoughts churning. But Bubba didn't let up, and Din eventually went, caving in, relieved by the closeness between them.
But Din started, even as he let Bubba tangle their legs together, even as his nose filled with the familiar smell of Bubba's skin, Beskar and Sedru, and the warmth of another person.
"Anas," Bubba said.
They were pressed so close together now that the word vibrated against the skin of Din's throat.
"But nothing, Shere. Nejoa, go to sleep."
Din debated, arguing further. Thought about pushing away, but Boba's arm was like a band of Beskar wrapped around Din's middle, and Boba's bed was comfortable.
Not too soft, not too firm, Din thought, wriggling a little more to get all of his limbs tucked into the right places.
Bubba made a wordless sound of discontent and tugged Din again, settling him firmly against Boba's side.
"Are you a man or a dune worm?" Bubba demanded sleepily.
"Sorry," Din murmured.
He pressed his nose into the crown of Bubba's head. Bubba's skin was soft here, too. His scars made him look tough and leathery, a crate dragon armored against the suns. But even Bubba's scars were soft, the skin smooth and shiny. There was no dragon here.
Sorry, Din repeated. He meant that he was sorry for scaring Boba, sorry for arguing, for jumping out into the desert. For lying to you, Din thought, sore. For pretending to be... The arm around Din's waist tightened.
Garmisha niojore, Boba murmured.
The edges of his mandoa, usually clear and crisp to Din's ears, like the peaks of a mountain or the orderly march of a ridge, had gone soft and round, the words tangled together. What does that mean? Din murmured.
Means I can hear you thinking, Jerrica, Boba murmured back. Knock it off. It's gonna give you bad dreams, my dad always said.
What, thinking too much?
When you're supposed to be sleeping, yeah.
Oh, Din said.
So, stop thinking, Boba grumbled. And be quiet. If I've got to get up and gag you, neither of us are going to have a good time.
Despite his words, Boba made absolutely no attempt to get up at all. He's bluffing, Din thought. But he didn't feel like testing the limits of Boba's patience. Tonight, anyway. There'll be time for that later, Din thought. The thought warmed him. Boba made a disgruntled sound against Din's shoulder.
You're still thinking, he rumbled. I can hear you. Knock it off.
Din chuckled and did as he was told.